perfect, okay? God is on it. So, Lord, I just thank you for Bernice, Lord Jesus. I thank you for her story. I thank you for the encouragement that she's been to this body. Lord, thank you that we're not saying goodbye, that this is just you repositioning her in a different place. And God, we just thank you for her. God, just continue to open up doors for her while she's down in this new area. Just surround her with great people, Lord Jesus, to encourage her, to support her. And thank you that, Lord, Lakeshore will always be a part of her home. And we look forward to seeing her when she can come and visit. But God, just bless her. And again, thank you for her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So my sermon today, it's definitely geared around what we've been looking at with Pastor Mark, but I also want us to be able to look at our own lives, because we all have weakness, we all have struggles, we all have things that we can go through. And when we look at who God is, and I'm so thankful, Mark just came up with this awesome saying for the last 2 weeks, that when we look at our itty-bitty problems, but we look at our big, big God, and it just counteracts what we're going through if we're looking in the right direction. My mom a few weeks ago said to me, and this is just kind of at the beginning with Mark being sick, she said, Justin, she goes, you're going to have a lot of stuff that's going to change within the dynamics of your job with the things that are going. There's going to be a lot more that you're going to have to look at and do. And she said, I want you to really look at it from this perspective. Look to God in this time. Keep your eyes just on him. That's where you're going to get your strength. That's where you're going to get, you know, that ability to do the things that you can't do. And I've done that over the last few weeks, and it's been incredible to see how God moves within my weakness. A few months ago, God gave me a word, and he said, Justin, I'm going to show you this. And this isn't fun when God gives you words like this, because I don't particularly like to be refined, although we all have to be refined. We want to be more like Jesus, but he said, Justin, I'm going to show you this, that in your weakness, I am strong. And I was all excited. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I'm going to see God's strength, not realizing what he was really fully meaning by that. So in my weakness, I don't want to be weak. I don't enjoy it. I don't like it. I'll just be honest with you. I like to be able to go into a situation, to see it work out really nice, and God was in it, and I got to be strong in it too, and him and I are just like hitting that high five together. It's not the case right now for me. But the beauty of it, and I want you to look at your own lives in this too. Do we count it a joy when we're going through suffering, when we're going through trials? Typically not. But God does call us to do that. When we hear news of somebody who we love who's sick, and very quickly we can gravitate and think, Lord, you know, why does this have to happen? And this isn't fair. Even in our own lives, there's things that we can look at and say that. I just want to go to Scripture for a moment. For 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9 to 10, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And I want you just to think of that. So we're called to come to this place where it's all about God. It's not about our strength, our ability, our giftings, any of that. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in my weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecution, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. It's backward to the way that we would want to look at life. But in this, it's a heart positioning. And the more that God's taking me through this, the more I'm realizing that, Lord, my heart isn't quite right in these areas. I do need refining in these areas. Because when I'm in a situation and I feel weak, I first gravitate to all the things that I think I can do. And God's been showing me again and again that it's to come to him first. So the challenge this week is to look at that and to say, okay, Lord, you know, what is the thorn in my flesh that I've asked for you to take away and yet it's still there? What are you trying to show me through these things? God's always teaching us lessons throughout the circumstances that we're in, and it's always for our good. If my perspective of God is right, and I try to keep it in this place where I know who the Lord is because of what his word says, because he's shown me in times of trial and trouble before who he is. But if I have a perspective that's off a little bit, and I'm thinking, well, God, are you really trustworthy? Are you somebody that I can really put my faith in? I mean, I see you do it for other people, but are you going to do this for me? Would you love me enough to do this? And even if I end up with no answer that I can understand, do I still choose to believe that you're trustworthy? Do I still believe that even though the medical report that came back to me is still negative, that you're still trustworthy, that I can still love you? When we become eternity-minded, which means we're thinking about the kingdom, and this is really where God wants to bring his people, where Paul, through his transformation, talks about, you know, though I have much, I'm content. Though I have little, I'm content. All the things that he went through, he stayed steadfast knowing who God was. Therefore, whatever circumstance came into his life, he was able to look at that and say, God, I trust you. You know, even though I was just beaten, I trust you. Even though I'm going without food right now, I trust you. We don't often have to go through those things in our culture. You know, I don't usually have to worry about what I'm going to eat next. I usually don't have to worry about where I'm going to sleep. But the reality is, with all those comforts, if they're all taken away and I just have God, is God enough? And the answer is yes. Is God still faithful to me even though I go without? Yes. Does he still love me exactly the same as when I'm at my best or my worst? His love doesn't change. Therefore, that even when I'm in that situation of want and need, he's saying that then you will see me strong. Then you can depend on me. Then your weakness is now strength. I love how God is for that. Now, sometimes when we're looking at situations where we just don't fully understand, we had a praise report a few weeks ago about my Uncle Terry, and the nurse had said he had cancer, he had chemotherapy, and the nurse had said, you know, you were a walking miracle, you know, God has healed you. And we shared that, I shared that here, and we celebrated that. And a few weeks later, they went back in, they wanted to finish off some chemotherapy, and they did. And they went back in, and they just said, we're not sure how to tell you this, you know, but your cancer tumor is twice as big. You now have a speck of cancer on your lung and on your liver. You know, there's no chance for operation. Now, he has the choice to think, well, Lord, you know, like, this isn't fair. You know, I have a family. I have grandkids. He's a man who loves children. He's fantastic with kids, all of our kids, my cousins, and now he's starting to have grandkids, and this would be the highlight of his life. And he's chosen to look at this and say, God, I trust you, even though the news came back after the fact that they said I was healed. You know, now we still believe God can heal him, but it's the heart position. It's the same with Pastor Mark right now. As we're praying for him, as we're fasting, one of Mark's greatest cries for this church has been that we would become a church that prays and a church that fasts, and we go back to the basics. And what is God doing right now? You know, and Mark told me, he said, I'm willing to be able to go through this if this is what the Lord is going to cultivate here. That's a positioned heart that says, God, you will be first. That's eternity thinking rather than temporal. If I love my life, if I keep looking at it and I'm saying, okay, well, no, like, God, I want this and I want this, I can't be sick. You know, we have to reposition our heart to say, Lord, what is your will for my life? Even though I may lose on some of these things, even though I may not be able to accomplish these goals because of, and we can fill in the blank with that, God is still good. And this season of our lives, he says, is just like a vapor. It's gone. And once it's over, we then go into eternity, either with Jesus or without. So really, if we can look at this as an eternity-minded mindset, you know, what are we really pouring into here in our lives? So the call to prayer and fast, guys, it's something that we should be doing all the time. You know, we're not here to discourage. I'm not here to say, hey, guys, get it right. I'm saying this to myself too. If I can just grasp the fact that God, eternity, this is what you've called me for. It's your will. You are the strength. You are my support. You are my provider. Then everything else on this earth starts to fade away. Now, it doesn't mean that we don't go through difficulties. It doesn't mean that we don't have thorns in our side. There's things, but then God even says he'll take that and use it for our good. I'm so thankful for the God we have. I wanted to touch on Isaiah 55. And this verse has been so meaningful to me throughout my life. God gave it to me years ago as almost like a life verse. I could say it's a life verse. And there's some key parts in it I want to touch. I'm going to read through the whole thing so I'm not taking it out of context. And then I just want to cover a very amazing section of this, because sometimes we don't always have the answer. And if you just want to grab your Bibles and go to Isaiah 55, I even went to New International Version this time, so we'll follow in the same way. There are going to be things in our lives that we're not going to have an answer for. There's going to be times where we're going to look at God and say, God, I don't know why you would do it that way, but I have to trust you. There'll be people that we pray for that don't get the healing. There'll be people that we pray for that do get the healing. And yet God is still sovereign. God is still loving. God is still amazing. So I want us to think of the things that we battle with in our lives. See, God covers the whole spectrum. He will cover addiction. He wants to break that out of our lives. He will cover wrong thinking. He wants to heal our minds. He will cover a heart that needs to be repositioned to say, Lord, I need just you. I need to fall more in love with you. And all this is done through his Holy Spirit that's been given to us. So the good news today is that it's not by your strength and character modification that you're going to do better. It's getting on your knees and saying, Jesus, I am desperate for you. The enemy does not want us to become a people who start praying. The enemy does not want you in your personal life to go to God first. The enemy wants you to be flooded with doubt and fear and all of these other things to say there must be a better way that I can do because I'm strong. And God is honestly saying to us today that be weak. Come into this place to trust me. Lay down your strongholds. The shields that we saw today that were up there, that is the body of Christ together going out into war. We're not called to pick up our one shield and stand alone and say, I'm ready for battle, I'm ready to fight. You might go a little while, but the reality of it is that you will not last the distance. God wants us to immobilize. So when we pray for the last half of this today, it's a call out, it's a cry out to pray for Pastor Mark, but it's also to look at our own hearts to say, Lord, we need more of you. There isn't any of us in this place that can walk out of here saying, I have enough of God. I love the fact that when we come into eternity someday, we're going to be constantly learning the greatness and fullness of who God is. It doesn't just come into one moment where we understand it all. God is going to continue through eternity to show us his beauty, his love for us, his greatness. And I'm just in awe of that. So starting in Isaiah 55, come all who are thirsty, come to the waters, and that you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the people, a ruler and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know still will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor. And this is the part that I really want us to focus on, just to camp on this part, and we'll go into that in a minute. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return to it without watering the earth, and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seeds from the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purposes for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. We can stop there. We're seeing here that God has a bigger plan in everything that we're facing, everything that we're going through. And sometimes we're not going to fully understand it. I liked Francis Chan. He had this scenario one time where he was speaking something on this similar. And you know those little potato bugs, or those bugs that roll up into a ball? As kids, we probably played with them many times, stick them up your nose, all that. Well, maybe I just did that, but I was a weird kid. But I actually didn't do that. That's kind of gross. So he had the old projectors, and I don't know, some of you young guys are not going to have any idea what a projector is. It's not one of those, like an overhead. And it would sit on the ground on a chair, and there would be one kid who was so excited to do it every single Sunday, and they would move these clear sheets down the line so you could see the words. And if the kid wasn't very good at it, then it was kind of chaotic. But the point of it was is it would project light onto a screen. Now, he said, let's take these potato bugs and let's put them on this open screen So on the projection, you're going to see them all scurrying around, and they're all moving back and forth, and it looks like chaos. They have no idea what's going on. That perspective for the bug, he has no idea what's going on. He's on this screen. They're together. They're doing their thing, but they have no idea what's happening around them. They have no idea that there's all these people watching them. They have no idea that they're in a church. They have no idea. Basically, you get the idea. No idea. So the reality of that is when we pray and when we spend time with the Lord on our knees in desperation for God, when we corporately come together and we say, Lord, we are coming united in a unanimous voice saying that we are believing for Mark's healing. We are believing for unity. We are believing to fall more in love with Jesus. We don't see what's taking place in that outer part, just like those bugs on the screen. You know, they had no idea. So I don't ever want you to be discouraged, because I believe that someday we will stand before the Lord and we are going to see the full picture of what our prayers have done. We are going to see people that we prayed for that we thought had no hope. At some point, because of these prayers that have gone out, God orchestrates it in such a way that now they're saved and now they're in eternity because of those prayers. The enemy is so quick to discourage us in these things. So if God's ways are higher than ours, are we okay with that? Well, we need to be. And if our heart's positioned in the right area and we know who God is, then of course we'll be okay with that. If my thoughts are here and God's thoughts are here, and it doesn't work out the way that I see it to work out, am I still going to be okay with that? The temptation comes to say that, no, I'm not okay with that, but I'll deal with it. You know what? That's not fair, but I guess, God, you're a loving God, and I'll just figure this out some other time. We have to come away from that heart position, because if we know who our Father is, a Father who delights in us, a Father who loves us, a Father who wants the very best for us, even if it means that we go through things that aren't fair. It's not God who puts that on us. It's not a loving Father who says, I'm going to give you cancer so you can figure this out. You know, I'm going to give you this trial in this area just so I can break you. The Lord says everything the enemy means for our bad, he will turn it around for our good. And when we're in these situations, when we're in the trial, what does God do? Even if he breaks us, it allows us to be broken in that time. It refines us. It makes us stronger in him. And it becomes a beauty that the Lord makes. And he says, I will make beauty from ashes. And when we look at who our God is, and when we look at him as King of Kings, it starts in that place. Because then if I know who he is, I can trust him. And then with that trust, I can apply it to any circumstance that I'm going through. Even if the outcome isn't what I think it should be, I still know who he is. And I still know that he has the best for me. And the greatest news, and I'll end here, is that this is not where it ends. This is just for a vapor of time. I'm just going to read a little bit of scripture. If you want to jot it down, I'm just going to go through it. There's just two that I wanted to kind of cover. So Romans 8:28, and we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. James 1, verse 2 to 3, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. God's giving us a theme here. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 4 to 5, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the suffering of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. That verse is for the body. That verse is that we can come together and comfort each other. We can stand together. You know, there was a lady here last week, and I don't know if she's here now, and if you are, I'm just going to go ahead with this. I've struggled this week with something that was given to our church as a prophetic word, and we're not a church that's like outside of the box, and sometimes I'm very thankful for that, and sometimes I wish God would push us a little bit more. And I was talking to Tiffany last night, and I said, no, I don't think I'm going to do it, but if the Holy Spirit leads me in it, then I'm going to do it. And this is nothing weird. We know that we are in spiritual warfare. You know, sometimes we even hear it and yet we still don't grasp what we're up against. Now, I'm going to change it a little bit from what she said. Her call out was that we would all stand together as a church and like the Lion of Judah, we would roar. And I thought, I don't see us roaring. But what I do see is making a declaration for God and saying, and I want to do this for Pastor Mark because we have prayed and we have fasted, and I want to encourage you to continue to do that. And then we're going to go into another prayer time in a few minutes. But I want us to stand together, and I want us as a united church for Jesus Christ to say to this, the enemy, to this sickness, we want to say no more in Jesus' name. And we'll do it united, unanimous. So I want you to picture this, though, that we are on the front line right now. Because whether you believe it or not, we are. We have an enemy that wants to kill, steal, and destroy. I don't even like giving the enemy a platform. I don't even want to give him favor and think, oh, this is what you're doing. But the reality is that as the body of Christ, we want to stand up against any enemy attack. And we also want to praise the Lord in this by saying, God, we are united with you, that none shall perish, Lord. We want people to be saved. We don't want to walk in sickness. And if the Lord can heal Mark, we want to stand and agree with that. So I'd invite you to stand. And I'll just count us down to three, and we're just going to say, in Jesus' name, this is for Mark, no more sickness for Mark Chester. So one, two, three. In Jesus' name, no more sickness for Mark Chester. So Lord, just as we are going about to go into prayer, I just want to pray into that, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, I ask you to lead this part, that this isn't part of the program, this isn't part of what we do next as the next step, Lord Jesus. We just want to come into your presence, Lord, in such a powerful way. As we made this declaration for Mark today, God, we are standing believing for his healing. And yet, God, if you choose not to, or if it doesn't work out that way, we still stand here in the same praise, in the same way, saying you are a good God, and we love you, Lord Jesus. Our hearts want Mark to be healed, Lord. Your ways are higher than ours. And God, already what you've done through this, Lord, you've used him to speak to staff at the hospital. You've used this already to touch a doctor's heart to tears. It's incredible what you're doing in this, Father God. So we just submit this to you, saying, Lord, even though there's parts of this we don't understand, we know that you are a good God who's in control, that you're using this situation in Mark right now to do so many things. God, I thank you so much for this church. I thank you so much, Lord, that we are willing to stand on the front line and to yell at our enemy, to yell at sickness and disease and say, we are not going to accept this if this is not of God. And Lord, I thank you so much that, Lord, you are a God who loves us, that you are a God who protects us, you are a God who walks us through the trial. And the beauty of you, Lord Jesus, is that you never leave us nor forsake us. And even when we're in the lowest, hardest places, even when we've prayed and prayed and prayed and have not seen any change, God, you have been with us the whole time. You've been sharing in that load. You've been carrying us. And I thank you so much that that is the God we serve and that you are so good to us, Lord Jesus. We love you. You are a good, good God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I think Marg and Jim are coming up, and we're going to be handing out mics. The purpose of speaking into the mic is that we are recording this. It doesn't pick up if not. And we want Mark to be able to hear the prayers that have gone out for him and just have that as well. So so anybody, guys, we're just going to go around the room. If you're feeling led by the Lord, even to give a praise report of what God's done through the praying and fasting, if it's just a solid prayer for Mark, this is what we're looking for. And even if it's a concern in your own life where you're like, you know, I just need to have prayer in this area. I want to lift this up. Because as the body, these are the shields coming together. This is us going out into war. But predominantly, we want to just be praying for Mark in this as well. So just raise your hand. Someone will come with a mic. And we'll go for about 15 minutes or until we know it's time to go to the next part.
Koenig, it's spelled Koenig, like the guy that played Chekhov in Star Trek. That's how I remember his name. But anyways, he's from a former church of Pastor Mark's in Paisley. And when I told him that we were praying for Mark and Mark's health condition, he was going to report to the Paisley church today, so they will be praying too. So he was very glad that I told him about Mark, and so they can pray for him too. So that was just more prayer warriors on the go, so I was very thankful for that. And I'd like to pray for Mark now too. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for our Pastor Mark, and he's just, well, I just love him, and I don't know why he has to go through this, Lord, but you know, and your ways are above our ways. So I just commit them to you, Lord, and thank you for Edith Fay and Mom Hunking. So, Mom's such a warrior with prayer to you as well, and Edith's such a servant. I just pray for an extra dose of strength for those two ladies as well. And I pray for Mark not to be discouraged, and I pray that you'd come alongside him and help him to go through this. And I know that he's strong and willing to do this, but any one of us put in this situation would be discouraged. So I just pray for him right now, and I pray for what you're going to do through this illness, and I pray for his healing. In your name, Jesus, amen.
Yes, we need to pray for Pastor Mark, but one thing we really need to know, we really need to believe what the Bible says. The Bible says he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, by the chastisement of his peace was given to God, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, do we believe that verse or do we not? The verse says, by his stripes we're healed. So let us all together decree and declare a healing for Pastor Mark. Not just look at the symptoms because he's got this. Never mind the symptoms. The Word of God says he's healed, so let's believe he's healed now, not tomorrow, right now. So can we all say together, we decree and declare that Pastor Mark is healed? Let's the whole congregation say this, can we? All together. We decree and we declare that Pastor Mark is healed. In Jesus' name.
The other day, whoa, that's loud. The other day I was praying in my room, and I forgot to pray for Pastor Mark, but the Holy Spirit reminded me to pray for Pastor Mark. So I've been praying for him, and I just wanted you to know that when I do forget, the Holy Spirit just reminds me, hey, you got to pray for Pastor Mark.
This week, the Lord led me to a verse in Daniel, and when we talk about spiritual warfare, for Daniel, he was praying for God's direction for his people, and then he was praying for God's direction, and nothing had happened for a while, and then all of a sudden he saw a vision, and the vision spoke to him, the person that came spoke to him, and he was in fear and trembling when this happened, and he said, I heard you the first day, but it was the bad angels or whatever was going on in the spiritual realm was stopping, and there was a war going on in the heavenly realms. And finally, when they battled it out, the angels and the bad angels, the good angels battled it out, then God or the angel came to him and spoke to him, but he said, I heard your prayer. And I believe that there is a spiritual warfare going on for sure. And God says that we are to bring our prayers and petitions before him. God wants us. He is the judge in heaven, and our prayers, when they go up to heaven, they are powerful, and we're standing before the throne of God, and every one of us that is praying, our prayers are going up to heaven, and we are to know that we are to state our case, and that is what we're doing today, and to understand that there is a lot going on in the spiritual realm that we don't understand, but God hears our prayers, and he will carry them out in Jesus' name.
I'm pretty new in my walk, but getting to know Pastor Mark, I'm extremely grateful for this church and for Pastor Mark. I get pretty anxious coming into a new place, and coming into a few churches, Lakeshore I felt was home. And then to get the courage to speak to Pastor Mark and just his way, his love for God, to welcome him in my living room, he made time for me. We started a Bible study, and whether I was there and I'm still selfish and full of myself and complaining to him, but yet the focus he can bring back and the message he carries for me was really profound. And his love for God just radiates, and it's really touched my heart. And to really get into the Word of God and really to grow in relationship with Him and have that focus and that guidance from a man like that, I just feel so blessed to have my journey started on that path, and then to have other people introduced through him. Thinking of that armor today, those shields, you know, I thought I just had to hold on to the shield and grit my teeth and go, okay, God, you got this. But to think that there's people that have sheltered me right into the center of those shields, because right now I'm having trouble holding my own. So there's other people shielding me. But in time, as I grow, maybe I'll hold a shield myself, and then to move on in my relationship with God. And I'm just so grateful that Pastor Mark is here. It's kind of a shepherd for all of us. And his love for God is so strong. And just the way he puts things, I feel so great. And but even in the hospital, going through this time, I think of my times of tribulation and that he's still talking to doctors, I just heard, and nurses. And still, you know, his faith hasn't wavered at all. And it's just so inspiring for me as a new walker in this faith. So I pray for all the best for him, but also that he knows God's plan for all of us is a plan of hope, a plan that has a future, and there's a part for every single one of us. And as things come in my life, that I pray that I don't lose faith and that I hold on to that and just keep doing the best I can to learn and grow. And he's been a crucial guide in that. And I just pray that whatever God's plan for him and for his congregation here is followed and pursued, because I choose to pursue God today. And he's a crucial part of that.
I remember a little over 5 years ago, my mom was in difficult situation, she broke her femur bone, and I remember how I was fretting. I was at work and fretting, and how can I help her? And then, as if I heard the voice of God telling me, why do you fret? She's in my hands. You can change anything with your fretting. Just trust me. And so same goes for Mark. May we be comforted, may we be in peace, knowing that Mark is in God's hands. He's in his will. And that's the best place to be.
I had no idea that Pastor Mark was sick. I'm very grateful that I'm able to be here and just hear all these wonderful truths being spoken about Pastor Mark. The one thing I've always admired about Pastor Mark was how he perfected true love. Love is kind, love is patience, all of that. And the one thing I've really got to experience with Pastor Mark, and if any of you have dealt with me, I can be a little bit of a hardhead at times, but he's always been kind and patient with me. And we've had many visits in the office where we've gone through scripture, and it's just really amazing to see the fruits of the Spirit that he has perfected. And in truth, there's not many people who have perfected it the way he has. And I know that we don't understand God's ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. And I know God takes the bad and turns it around for his glory and for his good. So if anything good of this can come from it, I just pray that this congregation does tie together as an army, because we are in a spiritual battle and spiritual darkness. And I just pray that this will go forward and that it would bring unity into the body of Christ and that we would lift up our prayers. So that's what I'm going to do today. Heavenly Father God, I thank you for bringing me here today. God, I thank you for the warm welcoming that my brothers and sisters have invited me here today. God, I just lift up Pastor Mark. I lift up the Chester family. I pray, God, that your strength would be in him. As we heard today, in our weakness, you are strong. And I pray, God, that your blessings would be with Mark, God, and that, God, you would create this to be a testimony for who you are, and that, God, people's hearts would be touched in the hospital, and that many people would come to know you through this testimony. I ask, Lord God, that you would bring healing there. I pray, God, that I was looking forward to seeing Pastor Mark today, and I just pray that the next time I come here that he will be strong and vibrant, and God, that many souls will be touched through your hand upon Mark, God. I just pray for a miracle today. I pray, God, that even now as we come together and we lift up our prayers, God, that your hand is already upon him, touching him in a way that only you can do. And we just give this to you, God. We ask, God, that all of our faith would grow stronger through this, as we know that you are the God of healing, and that in you, and only in you, are all things made possible. And we ask that, God, you would open our eyes to these prayers being answered. Thank you, God, for all you're going to do. We pray this in the name above all other names, Yahushua, Jesus Christ Almighty. Amen.
The passage just before, the one that Justin preached from today, Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Father, I bring Pastor Mark before you today, and Lord, we come in confidence of your word. Lord, your word has told us that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and we declare this for Pastor Mark, that every thought, every plan, every scheme, and every weapon of the enemy shall fail, Lord. And even as Vander reminded us today, God, it may look like he's surrounded, but he's surrounded by you. And so, Lord, we ask that you would continue as his shield and his defender, Father, that every thought and every action of the enemy would fall to the ground without any fruit, in Jesus' name.
This morning in pre-service prayer, I was praying that things would go as smoothly as God would like. And I'm just reminded that our ways are not his ways. But Lord, we just thank you so much that you have a plan and that you have a purpose for this. And Lord, we ask that your thoughts and your ways would take precedence. And as Herb just prayed, that the enemy would be thwarted in any attempt he has on this.
I'd just like to say that that this is an opportunity for this congregation to grow. It's an opportunity for this congregation to come in a like-mindedness, in one heart, in one spirit, to stand in a strength that we've never had before, because in most cases we stand in a single heart, in a single mind, in a single purpose. But as the body here, we can stand together in unity in regards to this situation and in many more that will come in the future. And it's standing in posture and position, knowing who Christ is and that God is sovereign over all things. And it's going to the Word and seeking the Word out and taking that Word and using that and as instruments of military warfare on behalf of our pastor and on our brothers and sisters in Christ. I believe that that the end result of this will be far greater than what we can actually see right now. The outcome will just blow us away in the days and the weeks and the months and the years to come as we grow as a congregation here and as we support each other in prayer and in fasting. And we just give the glory to God in this right now. And we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We thank you, Lord, that that you have blessed us to come together in unity, to come together, Lord, with one heart, with one mind, with one spirit. And, Lord, your word says that if one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. So let's, in our strength, come together and minister to this part of the body that is so precious to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
I had an opportunity a couple of times to share Mark with scriptures he's been receiving from the Lord, and one just popped up again. It's in Job 42. Then Job said to the Lord, I know that you can do all things and that no thought or purpose of yours can be restrained or thwarted. What we shared is that, especially here, we need to press through. We need to press through as a body together, and that's what it seems to be happening right now. And yesterday or the day before, the Lord showed me, because we were pressing through with the Word of God, and that Word will not return void. When we use the Word of God, He's going to speak it, and we speak it to Him, God's going to hear it. He releases the angel. The angels now, and through breakthrough prayer that we've been doing for Mark, the thing is that the angels are being released with swords. They're warring swords, and they've been released. The other thing with that scripture, nothing will assail Mark from not accomplishing his purpose, his destiny, but also for the destiny of this church. This church has been called to a bigger picture in North Bay and to Canada, and so is Mark, and that's his calling, and we need to press in. Just keep on pressing in. Don't give up. Keep on pressing in, but come together and share with each other. Okay, that's the thing here, is that He wants us to encourage each other, love each other, nourish each other, just not for the sake of Mark, but for each other in this congregation.
I've been thinking Pastor Mark for so many days. I've been praying for him. I've been thinking him a lot. Of his struggles. I know Pastor Mark when I was with the elders, been a long time. And I remember we've been struggling, the church, in terms of leaderships and all those stuff. But Pastor Mark was able to go to that leadership. And I can attest to you right now that our church really in one body, united in one spirit. And through this thinking, I've been thinking a lot about him lately. And it's just the Lord gave me a dream that I saw Pastor Mark standing there in front of us preaching. It's just one of those dreams. Typically, dreams are, you know, you not be remembering any dreams. But through this day, I just remember right now that I saw Pastor Mark in my dream standing there preaching. And praising God. So I think we should claim it by faith that Pastor Mark is healed, you know, be it health, be it health-wise or spiritually, he is healed, and we should be claiming it by faith. So I praise God for that.
As we sang this morning that Jesus would leave the 99 to get to the one. And so, Father, I ask, Lord Jesus, that you would go to Mark. I thank you that by faith we know that you leave us, because our shepherd would leave the 99. When I was in the hospital, he came and visited me. I wasn't alone. I was having a really tough time. I was suicidal. And Pastor Mark came to visit me, and he prayed for me. And he left the 99 here to come to visit me. And so, Father, I ask that you send your Holy Spirit to hover over Mark. I ask that you absolutely encompass him with your love, that you guard him with warring angels, Lord. So, Father, I just ask that you just envelop him like a cocoon, and that when he emerges, he would emerge full, whole, like a butterfly. And so I thank you, Lord Jesus, for Mark. I thank you that you've called him by name. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that he's an amazing shepherd. And I just praise you for who you are, and I thank you for healing him. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen.
One more thing to say is that when we are praying as a congregation, just want us to remember that when Pastor Mark's hands are weary and they're down, we're lifting his hands up. We're holding them up. We're holding his hands up. When they're weary and they can't stay up, we're lifting them up as a congregation and as a body. And we're holding them up, just like a mighty warrior holding those hands up, and we're going forth.
Pastor Mark, or Pastor Justin, I believe I have a word from the Lord this morning. If my people would call by my name, would humble themselves, and seek my face, I will hear from heaven, and I will heal their land, and I will forgive their sins. He's also saying that we need to love our enemies, bless those who curse us, pray for those who deliberately use us and persecute us. And I also see he's saying that you will know they are Christians by their love. And today, he wants us to walk in the love of Christ. The love of Christ is what he wants us to do.
We're just going to finish off the last song of worship, guys. But it's not so good. Everything we've just prayed has gone right directly to him. I just love the fact that we don't have to wait in line. You don't have to figure things out and think, well, God, did you hear it? As soon as we speak, even before we speak it out, God already knows the desire and what we need. That is the God we serve. And prayers change.
Good. Good go.